All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we're going to be tackling some pretty intense stuff.
Yeah, we're diving into Luke.
Yep, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 35 through 59, to be exact.
Buckle up. This is a powerful section.
It is. And to guide us through it, we're going to be drawing on a lecture by Dr. Daniel K. Darko.
Really insightful stuff. He brings up some really important points.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So to set the stage a little bit, this passage in Luke, it comes right after a section where Jesus is talking about, well, greed, basically, the danger of it.
Yeah, and how we need to prioritize seeking God's kingdom above all else.
Exactly. And then, boom, we shift into this section, which Dr. Darko calls kind of like a prophetic mode for Jesus.
Totally. It's like we move from, earthly possessions and worries to this much bigger question of who or what should we truly revere?
Which leads us to the big question for today's deep dive. What does it mean to be ready?
Right. Jesus emphasizes that word a lot in these verses.
He does, and he connects it to fearing God as the God of judgment. So that's what we want to unpack today.
What does that even mean for us? How should that change how we live?
Exactly. So in this deep dive, we want to unpack these ideas, pinpoint what's really important, the takeaways about being vigilant, the responsibility that comes with leadership, and even the potential challenges that come with following Jesus wholeheartedly.
Yeah. And ultimately, with Dr. Darko's help, we want to help you guys understand this passage more deeply and hopefully apply it to your lives in a meaningful way.
Absolutely. All right, so let's dive right into the text. Luke 12:35-40. This is where we get that initial call to readiness.
Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning.
Wow, that's vivid imagery, right?
It is. And Dr. Darko points out that this isn't just about being generally aware, it's about being actively prepared for something specific.
Like prepared to move.
Right. Like, think about it. Just before this passage, Jesus assures his followers that they don't need to be anxious about their basic needs.
God will provide.
Exactly. If they prioritize his kingdom. So when he says, be dressed and have your lamps lit, it's like he's saying, look, I've given you what you need. Now it's your turn to be ready to act.
I like that. It's like the opportunity is there.
You just got to be ready to seize it.
So true. And then we get this comparison to servants waiting for their master to come home from a wedding feast.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
So the servants can't be dozing off. They got to be ready to open the door the moment he arrives.
And a wedding feast? I mean, come on. That suggests a celebration, a late night, right?
Totally. But the expectation is clear. Stay vigilant.
And even if the master comes back super late, like in the second or third watch, there's still a reward for those who are awake and waiting.
It's like he's saying, even when things seem delayed, don't lose your focus. Stay ready.
I think that's a powerful message for us today.
For sure. But then things get really serious with that warning about the thief.
Uh-oh, yeah. If the master of that house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into.
You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
That's pretty intense.
It is. And I think it emphasizes the importance of being prepared because you never know when a significant moment will arrive.
It's like you wouldn't leave your valuables unprotected if you knew a thief was coming.
Yeah, right. Of course not.
So in the same way, Jesus is saying that if we're not prepared for his coming, there will be consequences.
Now, in verse 41, Peter asks a question that I think a lot of us would have.
What's that?
Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all?
Ah, yeah. He wants to know who exactly this applies to.
Don't we all?
Right. And Jesus' response, it's interesting. He shifts the focus to the role of a faithful and wise manager.
Or, as Dr. Darko clarifies, the Greek word really means more like steward.
Right. Someone entrusted with managing someone else's household or affairs.
So we're not just talking about serving in general here, it's about leadership and responsibility.
Exactly. And Dr. Darko emphasizes that this steward, it's not necessarily an outsider. It could be one of the servants, someone who's been elevated to a position of trust.
And the reward for being faithful in that position, huge.
You get put in charge of all the master's possessions.
But there's a flip side to that, right?
Oh, yeah, big time.
If the steward starts thinking, oh, the master's not coming back for a while, and begins mistreating the other servants and indulging in all sorts of bad behavior.
Well, let's just say the master comes back unexpectedly and the consequences are severe.
Cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful.
Yikes.
It's a stark warning about abusing power, about what happens when we don't take responsibility seriously.
Dr. Darko, he connects this back to the story of the rich fool, the guy who built bigger barns but then died before he could enjoy his wealth.
Right. Both stories highlight the danger of complacency, of thinking we have all the time in the world.
Exactly. And of using our position for selfish gain.
Which brings us to that super important principle in verse 48. To everyone to whom much was given, much will be required.
Meaning?
Well, Dr. Darko points out that Jesus distinguishes between the servant who knew the master's will and the one who didn't.
Ah, I see. So the punishment is different depending on how much they understood.
Exactly. The more you know, the more you're held accountable for.
And that makes sense, right?
It does. And it applies to leadership, to any position of responsibility.
So if you're entrusted with something important, whether it's at home, work, or in your community, you're going to be held accountable for how you handle it.
Okay, so now we come to a section that can be a little bit tricky. Luke 12:49-53. This is where Jesus says, I came to cast fire on the earth.
Ooh, yeah, that's a powerful image.
It is, and Dr. Darko talks about how it has multiple layers of meaning.
Like what?
Well, he mentions Timothy Johnson's commentary, which connects this fire to the fire associated with Elijah.
Oh, right. That was a symbol of judgment.
Exactly. But then Dr. Darko also points out how fire is later associated with the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts.
So it's not just about judgment.
Right. It can also represent purification, even the transformative power of Jesus's message itself.
It's like engaging with Jesus's teachings. It can shake things up in your life. Maybe even cause some discomfort.
For sure. But ultimately, it leads to positive change.
Right, like a refining fire.
Okay, so then Jesus mentions his baptism.
Which Dr. Darko suggests refers to his suffering and death.
Yeah, this ordeal that he knew he had to go through.
It shows how committed he was to his mission.
And then we get this really startling statement. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division.
Whoa, that's kind of unexpected, right?
It is, especially since we often think of Jesus as the Prince of Peace.
So what's he talking about here?
Well, Dr. Darko emphasizes that this division comes from how people respond to Jesus's message.
Like some people accept it, others reject it.
Exactly. And that can create conflict, even within families, you know, father against son, mother against daughter, that kind of thing.
So it's not that Jesus wants to break up families.
Right. It's that following him might lead to some difficult situations.
Like, your family might not approve of your choices.
Dr. Darko even brings in a parallel from the Gospel of Thomas. It's not part of the Bible, but it's an early Christian writing.
And what does it say?
Well, it has a saying about Jesus bringing ascension, fire, sword, war.
So it reinforces this idea of division.
Definitely. But Dr. Darko makes it clear that this call to prioritize Jesus doesn't mean you have to abandon your family.
Okay, so what does it mean then?
He sees it as a call to put your commitment to God and his kingdom first. You know, make that the guiding principle in your life.
So it's about where your ultimate loyalty lies.
Exactly. Now, some scholars interpret this differently. They suggest that the family of believers becomes the primary focus. But Dr. Darko's take is more nuanced.
It's not either. It's about keeping God at the center of all your relationships.
Okay, so moving on to Luke 12:54-59. Here, we see Jesus kind of criticizing the crowds.
Why is that?
Because they're good at reading weather patterns, but they totally miss the significance of what's happening right in front of them.
The arrival of the kingdom.
Yep. It's like they can interpret the natural world, but they're blind to the spiritual reality.
Hmm. Interesting.
And then Jesus says, judge for yourselves what is right.
What's he getting at there?
Well, Dr. Darko sees this as a call to action. You know, recognize the signs of the kingdom and make a conscious decision about how you're going to respond.
Don't just sit on the fence.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we get this analogy about settling with an accuser before going to court.
What's that all about?
It's about taking care of things before it's too late. You know, before you end up facing a much harsher judgment.
So, like, if there's something in your life that needs to be addressed, do it now before it blows up into a bigger problem.
Exactly. And Dr. Darko ties this back to the urgency of responding to Jesus's message.
Like, the time for decision is now.
Right. Which brings us back to that theme of the one to fear.
The God of judgment.
Yes. The one who expects faithful service from us and who will hold us accountable for how we've used our time, our talents, our resources.
It's a sobering thought.
It is.
Yeah.
But I think it's an important one to keep in mind.
So let's recap what we've learned today.
We've seen how crucial it is to be ready, to be actively prepared for whatever might come our way.
And we've explored the responsibility that comes with leadership and trust.
And we've grappled with the potential challenges that come with fully embracing Jesus' teaching.
It's been a lot to take in.
It has, but I think it's all incredibly relevant to our lives today.
So here's a final thought for you to chew on.
Think about the areas in your life where you feel pulled in different directions. Maybe your loyalties are divided.
Or maybe you're facing a tough decision.
Are you paying attention to the signs of the times in your own life?
What would it look like for you to truly stay dressed for action?
What does readiness look like for you?
These are questions worth pondering.
We encourage you to dig deeper into this passage in Luke.
Maybe check out Dr. Darko's lecture.
Or explore some other commentaries.
It's a journey worth taking.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Until next time.
Bye for now.